Appreciate Stephen Tollett playing the keyboard for us. We'd ask him to play the song I Can Only Imagine. And I wish we'd have had the words. We just all started singing that. Some of you may have never heard the song at all. And so the movie tonight won't mean as much to you as if you knew the song and had heard it and loved it. It's a story about the man who wrote the song. His name is Bart Millard, and he's with a group called Mercy Me. Some of you all listen to that group oftentimes. Young people do. Older people like me listen as well. But it has beautiful words to that. I can only imagine. So I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face, Jesus, is before me. I can only imagine, yes, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you stand still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the S-O-N, sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. Will I stand in your presence or to my knees fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine, surrounded by your glory. Will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Now, what in the world is that about? What is that a song about? Anybody got an idea? What are we talking about? What are we singing about? About heaven, aren't we? The fact that when we stand before Christ Jesus and we are entering into that wonderful place called heaven, what will be our response? I can only imagine how it will be. It says, will I dance for you, Jesus? Tony, I'll be the first time I ever danced in my life. But I just might start dancing all over heaven. Be all right with me. I might be so excited, and some of y'all could join right in. Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you, stand still? In other words, will I just be breathless and not be able to say one solitary thing? That may be how I am. I'll be so awed by his presence. I'll probably, like John the Apostle, fall down on my face as though I were dead. That's how John felt when he saw a vision of the Lord Jesus. I can only imagine. Think about that this morning, and think about that during the movie tonight, and come and let's all enjoy that together. The sermon today is I Can Only Imagine about heaven. I'm going to begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at several scriptures here, and we'll be having some of them on the screen. You can turn in your Bibles and read along if you would like to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. The Apostle Paul is writing this to the church that was over in Corinth in Greece. He said, I, brothers and sisters, now I put sisters there so you sisters don't feel left out, because that's what he meant. It wasn't just for the men. And I, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I didn't come to your church, to you all, with excellency of speech or of wisdom. I came declaring unto you the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Paul says, I was scared to death. Much trembling, fear, weakness. And Paul said, and my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He said, I preached, I didn't look good, I didn't speak well, I didn't speak very good before you, but he said, I did so just in the weakness of my own being, so that God would get all the glory, and everybody would say, God did that. And when the folks got saved, they said, the Lord did that. That's what Paul is saying, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Now that started tongue in cheek. Some of them thought they were perfect. He started chiding them there. He says, I speak wisdom among those that are perfect. Yeah. Some of y'all think you are, he says. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the princes of this age that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages unto our glory, which none of the princes of this age knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, now here's the verse that led me to choose this text when I talk about we can only imagine. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I chose that verse 9 because throughout most of my life, even up until just recently, I've always used that verse in telling people how beautiful heaven must be and how great heaven is going to be and how we can know some things about heaven, but we can't know everything about it. And when we get there, we'll say, my soul, this is better than I ever thought that it might possibly be. Well, Paul says in verse 9, as it is written. Now, I don't know, I've looked through the Old Testament and really cannot find any place where it's written. Now, Paul knows better than I do. He said, as it is written, but Paul often says something is written and you go back and look for it in the Old Testament and can't find it. At least you can't find it just like he said it was written. The only passage that most of us can find that's almost like that, that Paul might have had in mind, is Isaiah 64. And so look at Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 4. This is the closest that you will come to finding some verse in the Old Testament that Paul said, he said, it is written, and then he quotes that scripture, but look at Isaiah 64 and verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waits for him. Now you can look all through the Old Testament, through the book of Psalms, and everywhere, that's about as close as you'll find a verse that Paul might have had in his mind when he said it has been written. He meant in the Old Testament, and he quoted that. So that's not unlike Paul. He does that quite a bit, And when I quote a scripture, I may get it right and I may not exactly. But no doubt he was basing his thought upon Isaiah 64 verse 4. Now click back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and look at verse 10. And I said that I'd always use this verse to help people to see that heaven is so wonderful that it has never entered into the mind of man, the things that God has prepared for him in heaven. But I've discovered that that may not be right to interpret it. Most people who interpret this says it's okay to think that, you know, and to go ahead and preach that sermon that I used to preach from verse 9 about how wonderful heaven is, and you can't possibly know about it all. But I can see here, and look at the next verse, that's not really what Paul is talking about. Look at verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. You see, in verse 9 he says, we can't know all of those wonderful things that God has prepared for those that love Him. But he says, those of us who are saved, who have the Holy Spirit, we know. We have seen. He has revealed to us. So actually, Paul is saying, we didn't think we could know it before, but now since we got saved and the Holy Spirit came to live within our hearts, now He's revealed those things that the whole world didn't know before. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Holy Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. So, I'll go ahead and when I talk to people about heaven and try to help them understand how it's going to be for them as they're about to die and their loved ones be standing around the room and I'll be talking with them and try to tell them, boy, you just ain't got any idea how wonderful it's going to be. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those that love Him. I'll go ahead and preach that sermon. I'll go ahead and counsel the people about how wonderful heaven is. But I also understand that you go get further than that. And Paul says, but we have the Holy Spirit, and we do know, and we do understand. And he says, if the princes of this world would have known what we know, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Amen. 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 So I explained that verse to you. So if you've been interpreting through the years like I have, go ahead and do it. It's all right. No problem. But understand that he really says, but we have the Holy Spirit and we can see things and know things and comprehend things, the deeper things of God. If you're saved, you do understand more than ever before. There's so many wonderful songs in our songbook about heaven. You take the old Heavenly Highway songbook, and when we sing in those singings, it seems like nearly all the songs we sing are about heaven. We started off today singing what? Y'all don't remember, do you? Give you a test. What's the first song we sang today? When we all get to heaven. When we all get to heaven. And down the street, there's one church that has a songbook that has that in it. But it changed the word. And they changed the word because it says, when the saved get to heaven. In other words, everybody's not going to heaven. The song that we usually sing when we all get to heaven, we're singing to the choir. We're preaching to the choir. We're singing about saved people. But the folks down the street here who in their songbook have changed the word, they're right, technically right. And so their songbook says, when the saved get to heaven, and only the saved are going to be there. We know that's true. And we need not think anything else than that. There's another song in that song book of ours, We Shall Behold Him. The song we're meeting in the Dallas beginning today at the Southern Baptist Convention. And I remember when Anna and me and our two little boys and my mother and my dad, who had never been on a trip in their whole life, we went to Los Angeles, California, and we heard those 10,000 or 15,000 people in that Coliseum in Los Angeles, and we heard Sandy Petty stand up with that great choir, and she brought the house down singing, We Shall Behold Him. And by the time she got singing, we were all on our feet, looked like a whole bunch of Pentecostal folks. We were praising God, shouting hallelujah when we shall behold Him. I'll never forget that. And then in your book, there's face to face with Christ, my Savior. And then there's that old Fanny Crosby song, which is My Savior First of All. I selected that the other day and somebody said, well, we don't know that here. Oh, we have to learn that somehow. My Savior, first of all. Fanny Crosby was blind, wrote some 10,000 hymns as a blind woman. And one of her famous hymns was, When I Get to Heaven, I can only imagine. When I get to heaven, I'm going to go face to face. I'm going to see Him in all of His glory. And that blind lady thought, when I get there, I'm going to see Jesus for the first time in the eyes and look upon His face. Heaven's a beautiful place. John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. John 14, verses 1 and 2. Wonderful passage. I read this at almost every funeral I've ever preached. John 14, 1 and 2. Say it with me. Read it because it's so familiar to us. Let's say it out loud. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a promise that Jesus makes. He made it to His first disciples. They were standing all around. He made that promise to them. And He did go away. At that moment, they couldn't imagine Him going away. They thought He was going to stay there with them forever. They joined up the disciple band of following Jesus, and they sort of joined up because they thought, we're going to Jerusalem, we're going to overthrow all of Rome, the Roman Empire, we're going to set up the kingdom of heaven upon earth, and Jesus is going to be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And so they followed Him, and here Jesus says to them, now y'all don't be troubled. You're following me. I'm going to go away. And I'm going to go away and prepare mansions for all of you. And if I do that, then I'm going to come and get you and take you to where I am so that we can be together forever. He kept warning them and informing them about His coming death. Many, many times He said, the Son of Man is going to be rejected. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be buried, but is going to rise on the third day. But those disciples heard that, but they still had in their minds, no doubt, that's really not going to happen. Christ Jesus, we're following Him, and He's going to not ever die. But He did. And after the death, and after the resurrection, and after the day of Pentecost, they all remembered when the Spirit came. They all remembered what He had said. And they began to go out all over the world preaching the good news of Jesus. He said He was going away, and He has gone away, but He's going to come again one of these days, just as He said. Well, let's see another passage. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation. We're talking about heaven and only imagining, not hardly being able to imagine. But Revelation 1:12, or 1 something. I'm getting over there right there. Revelation chapter 1, the first chapter of Revelation. Oh, this is the vision that John the Apostle had out on the island called Patmos. He had been exiled there. He was the only disciple who didn't get killed by getting his head cut off or get crucified or disemboweled or something like the other disciples did. John died a natural old death in his 90s. He was on the island. He'd been exiled there, verse 9 of chapter 1. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle, or on the isle, that is called Patmos. I was there because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. John says, I was in the Spirit. When you go home this afternoon, are you going to be able to say to somebody at your house, I went down to First Baptist Church in Derrick's, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could go say that and be telling the truth? That here in this experience together, you would say, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. That's what he says. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a great voice, sounded like a trumpet. And the voice said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write down in a book, and then send it to the seven churches in Asia, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And John, the old apostle, says, I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and I turned and I saw seven golden candlesticks or lampstands. That's what he saw. In the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, he was clothed with a garment down to the floor, girded about his chest with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet were like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of the ocean, like the sound of many waters. Boy, John had quite a vision, didn't he? What would you do if that was you? And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shining in its strength. Now here's what old John did. His old John. It's probably what I do too. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. I just bet you that's what happens to me. When I see him, feeling as unworthy as I feel to be his child, feeling that I am not all that he wants me to be, all that I ever he wanted me to be, John says, I saw him. I fell at his feet as dead, but said, he laid his right hand on me. And isn't that a thrilling thought? If I fall down, Tony, and I'm down there, maybe he'll lay his hand on me like he did up on John. And he laid his hand, his right hand, not his left, he laid his right hand upon me and said to me, don't be afraid, don't be scared, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell or Hades. I have the key of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will be hereafter. Now, the mystery of the seven stars which you saw
in my right hand, and those seven golden lampstands or candlesticks. He says the seven stars are the angels, are the messengers of those seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Amen. What a vision.
Some idea about what may happen to us whenever the Lord calls us. You see, one of these days, I'm either going to die and go to be with Jesus, or Christ is going to come at His second coming, and I won't have to die. But I'm not really counting on that part. I figure I'm going to die, and you probably will too. But one of the ways, either through death or the second coming of Christ and His resurrecting the dead, we're going to see Him. What a place. Look at Revelation 4. I may just whet your appetite here, and you get so excited you'll want to read the whole book of Revelation before you go to bed tonight. And you could. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. The first voice that I heard was like a trumpet talking with me. It said, come on up here, and I'll show you things that'll be hereafter. And immediately, John says, I was in this. He's always getting in the spirit. Amen. Be wonderful for you to say that about me. Be wonderful for me to say that about you. He's always getting in the spirit. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. One sitting on the throne. He tells what all he looked like. He looked like jasper, sardis, rainbow around. Rainbow, that's got a bad thing these days, but it's a good thing. Let's don't get off onto that, the rainbow coalition. There was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones, John said, I saw 24 elders, and they were clothed in white raiment, and they had crowns of gold on their head. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. You just read on and on and on through all of that and see what he did. And end up at verse 10, the 24 elders fell down before him that is seated on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne and said, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. How beautiful heaven must be. Glad home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. You know, not all of us may be going to heaven. I mean, some of us, when we die, some of us here, you may say, Brother Dave, I know if I were to die today, I would not be going to heaven. I feel like that in your own heart, in your own mind, that if you're not going to go to heaven when you die, you really know that. Now, you may argue with me or your wife or your husband or your children, but somehow deep in your mind and your heart, you're aware of that. As my daddy used to say, you're as lost as a goose. That's what he used to say. In other words, you're lost. And in your mind and heart, you know that. Sometimes people say, well, they may not know. I really think you know that. You know that the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And without Jesus, you're lost. And somehow you know that. I don't want to leave you on a bad, sour note today. Many of us, hopefully all of us in this room, if Jesus were to come
this afternoon, we'd all go to meet him. And we'll be imagining all those wonderful things. But if you're not ready, you could be ready. It didn't take very much for me to get ready. I was 12 years old. What did I have to do to get ready? I was 12 years old. I realized I was a sinner. I knew I was lost. I believed strongly if I died at 12, I'd go to hell and be there forever. I've heard the preacher saying that, and I believed it. He said it was in the Bible, and I read it. I believed that was true, and I got convicted in my heart. Well, I didn't have to do very much. You know what I did? I felt sorry for my sins. I repented of my sins. I realized my sins were terribly bad. I called out for Jesus. I said, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save me. And you know what? A miracle happened. He did. He did. I think I really believed that He would back when I was 12. I suppose as much as I knew. But He really did come into my heart, into my life, became my Savior. The next Sunday I got baptized, telling everybody I was saved that Sunday before. I didn't have to do much. I just had to realize. And since the years have gone by, I've come to realize I wasn't smart enough to know that. I was 12 years old, grew up on that farm I was on. I didn't know all that stuff. I didn't know the Bible. I had not any of those things much. Some way the Holy Spirit of God convicted my heart, and the truths that I knew made me understand what I needed to do. And when I surrendered my life to Him, He came into my heart and became my Savior. And He can do the same thing for you today. Let us pray. Dear Lord, only You know the hearts of all the folks who are here today. You know their needs. If I knew all the needs of the folks here, I couldn't meet them all anyway. But You can. I can't save anybody, but You can. I can't bring deliverance to anyone, but You can. And dear Lord, I pray this morning, if there's someone here, maybe several somebodies, who are not ready for You to come to them, I pray that even this very moment, they would open up their heart and let You come in. Now, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and you're thinking about what I've just said, I hope. If you feel like in your mind, I know I'm lost, and if Jesus were to call me home in death, however that might be today, or come back for me in His second coming, I wouldn't be ready. Well, let's get ready. Why don't you pray this prayer? You could pray it out loud with me. Many people have been saved in this very way. If you already are saved and want to pray it again, that's all right. Pray it with your neighbor there. They can hear you praying. That's all right. Why don't you just pray this prayer? Pray it out loud or silently. Makes no difference. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I am lost. But I don't want to stay lost. I believe that You came and died upon the cross to save me. And dear Lord, You said that I would believe on You and in You and trust in You, I would be saved. Dear Lord, I do that this morning, right here in this place. I do that. Lord, I don't want to go to hell when I die. I don't want to be lost anymore. I want You as my Lord and my Savior. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the precious blood and save me.